Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." When I read that, it really struck me. Here is a king. He has a prophecy. His prophecy is recorded in Scripture for eternity, because now we see these are the words of God. And this prophecy was taught to him by his mother. The Bible has a lot to say about good moms. And if you will follow what the Bible says, you're not guaranteed that all of your children will turn out just right, but you have the best opportunity of rearing good children if you follow what God shows you in the Bible. And King Lemuel turned out well. And the reason, a big reason that he turned out well, is he learned some things from his mother that he could live by when he ruled. So we're going to look in the Bible today at some things that good moms do. And hopefully these will be an encouragement to you. Hopefully they'll be an instruction to you. They may be a reproof to you if you're not doing them. Hopefully they'll be helpful to you. Good moms, first of all, teach. Good moms teach. You see, Lemuel was a king. And what he learned from his mother, he recorded here to let you know these are things as a king that he lived by. His mother taught him the prophecy that he wrote in Proverbs chapter 31. What are some of the things that she taught him? She taught him not to give his strength to women. He says here in verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." You know what he learned from his mother? What she taught him at an early age? She taught him, "Son, young men are attracted to pretty women, to young women." And she said, "Don't give your strength to women." Why? Because they'll persuade you to do things that are contrary to good character. For instance, Solomon was a great king, wiser than any other king, and yet he married many wives, and the Bible says that his wives turned his heart away from God. And of course it was the unraveling of his kingdom. When his son Rehoboam took the throne, 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel were stripped from Solomon's line, from David's line, as a result of Solomon going after false gods. Who led him in that direction? Women. And so Lemuel's mother said to Lemuel, "Son, you need to be very careful not to give your strength unto women." David was a great king, a man after God's own heart. But when he saw Bathsheba bathing one night, when really David should have been with his men in war, in battle, he couldn't control himself. I'm not saying that he was incapable of doing it. He wasn't guided by this very principle that King Lemuel was guided by. Job understood this. He said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" You see, that's the natural tendency. I remember a mother taught her son one time, this fellow that was 50 years older than me. She taught him, she said, son, don't marry. Now, she said it in a very southern way. She said, son, don't marry no woman what you love. And he was stunned. Why wouldn't I marry a woman that I love? She went on to say, you marry a woman, what's going to prove she loves you? Oh, man, now. You see, she went on to explain, a man is prone to fall in love with the first woman who will stop, turn, and look back. She said, that's not what you want to do. You want to wait till you know you have a woman who will prove that she loves you. That's profound. That is profound. And you know where he learned that? He learned that from his mother. And you know where King Lemuel learned not to give his strength to women? He learned that from his mother. You know what she taught him in Proverbs chapter 31? She taught him not to drink. She said, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. She said, you better stay away from that booze, boy. Now, she taught him that. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, certainly you can. Some women have done this, but you're reading it here, right here in Scripture. She said, I know the two things that are liable to get you, wine and women. And she says, I want you to stay away from both of them. She also taught him, according to Proverbs chapter 31, to plead the cause of the poor. She says that. Open thy mouth in verse 9. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now, why do you suppose that she would teach her son to plead the cause of the poor? Do you think it was just because she wanted him to be compassionate and sympathetic? Well, certainly those are good characteristics and qualities, but he's a king. Now, I'll tell you, she knew exactly why she was training him that way. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 14 tells you why. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 14 says, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. She said, son, if you want to rule and have a throne that will be established forever, you're going to need to take care. You're going to need to faithfully judge the poor. And so she says, plead the cause of the poor. You see, not only these things that we've just discussed, but in the remainder of Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother taught him the finer characteristics of a virtuous woman. Why? So he would know what to look for. She taught him all these things about virtuous women, and he knew them well enough to be able to write them down for us. Listen, if a king stays away from giving his strength to women, if a king stays away from drink and faithfully judges the poor and marries right, which Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31 surely instructed him to do, you know what? He's going to be a good king, and he's going to have a good reign, and he's going to have a good throne. He's going to have a good country. Now, where did King Lemuel learn all this? He learned it from his mother. Why? Because good mothers teach. So teach your children. There you go. You want to be a good mom? Teach your children. All right, here's another thing. Good moms, listen, good moms command. Proverbs chapter 1, and look at verse 8. The Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 talks about the instruction of a father. And among other things, fathers are to instruct their children. But notice what he says, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you know what that says? She can lay down the law. Listen, in the system of authority, it's God, and God's the head of Christ. Christ, and Christ is the head of the man. The man, and he's the head of his wife, and they, as parents, are the head of their children. Well, listen, if dad is instructing and mom is carrying out those instructions, she is there most of the time to not only lay down the law that comes from the instruction of the father, but she is there also to enforce the law. But you know, the problem is because mothers nurture their children in infancy and in youth, and because mothers are generally more emotional, they sometimes have a hard time with commanding their children. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that situation, but you nurse your child when he or she is young and nurture them in their youth, and you may find yourself generally more emotional than your husband. You do have a hard time commanding your children. Listen, please understand something. Your children need to obey. That's what Ephesians 6:1 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He didn't say fathers, he said parents. That includes mothers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right? Then they have to obey. May I tell you something? You are not going to love your children into obedience. You can put your arm around them, you can hug them, you can love them, you can kiss them on the forehead, pat them on the back. If they are disobedient, all of those expressions of your love are going to do nothing more than to convince them they can continue right on in the disobedience that they currently display. You're not going to love them into obedience. They're going to continue to get away with disobedience. Let me tell you something else. You're not going to induce your children into obedience. You may have tried it. Inducing children into obedience is like bribing them. Hey, after school, how would you like to stop by and get an ice cream? Oh, yeah, Mommy, thank you. Okay, if you promise to do your homework now, we'll go get some ice cream. Well, you go and get the ice cream, and now your child is all sugared up. And you get home and say, okay, now we had an agreement. It's time for you to do your homework. And man, okay, now you're going to try the other treatment, right? You know it doesn't work. You cannot induce your children into obedience. Let me tell you something else. You're not going to get your children to obey you if you are afraid of them or if you are afraid of losing them. That is, if they're a little bit older. You know, there are a lot of mothers who are afraid of their children. And perhaps you are. You say, well, I'm not afraid of my children. It's easy for you to say that in rebuff to what I just said. But listen, think truly about your heart and think truly about your children and think truly about your relationship to your children. I've met a lot of mothers who are afraid of their children. And if they're not afraid of them directly, you know, because they're like, well, if I say this, he's going to say that. If I say this, she's going to do that. You know, when you start having that little calculation in your head, you fear your children. And if you're afraid of losing them, like you've got one that's already disobedient, and so you're thinking, oh, man, if I say this, then they may not want to come home. Or if I say this, I'm just going to drive them further away. You can't do the right thing if you're afraid, one way or the other. So you say, well, how in the world then am I going to get them to obey? You must command obedience. Now you think about the military. And in the military, you get these guys that come in there, some of whom are drafted and some who volunteer, most of them who don't want to be there. And they go on to boot camp. And guess what they get? They get a drill sergeant who drills them in various drills and instructions to teach them to obey. And as they go further and further in their training, even to obey in very adverse circumstances, even at the risk of their lives, they are commanded to obey. And how do they do that? They do that by great authority and by repetition and by strength of character. Likewise, mothers, when the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, watch it, and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what he's saying? That law, it comes down by commandments. Now, they may get older and decide they don't want to obey. You can't live your children's lives for them. But while they're young, while you're teaching them, you also command them. You know, you say it's time to go to bed. They say, I don't want to go to bed right now. I'm not sleepy. But the next step is enforcement, because they're going to bed. Why? It's the law of their mothers. And good moms command. So good moms teach, good moms command. Let's look at Titus 2:4. Good moms love. Oh, you said, well, I was hoping you'd get to that. Well, let me show you something here. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 4. Younger women are taught by the older women, and what are they taught to do? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, it would seem to go without saying that mothers are to love their children. I mean, who do you think would have to be taught to do that? However, here Paul said that young women have to be taught to love their children. So this love that Paul is talking about in Titus 2:4 is more than natural affection. You see, natural affection, you come by that. But as a mother, if you have to be taught to love your children, there's something more to it. There's something about the true love that a mother is supposed to have for her children, that's something that an older woman has to teach. Well, an older woman has already raised her children, and so she knows what works and what doesn't work. And she'll tell you this, true love doesn't give in to their demands. Now, you've seen it, and I've seen it, and you've probably done it. A child becomes unruly and becomes an embarrassment at a bad time, like in a restaurant or a store, and they're making demands with their terrible behavior, and what do? Well, you say, well, I love my children, and so you give in to their demands. No, you know what you've just done? You've just trained your child whenever they want something that you don't want them to have. They're to make a scene in public to embarrass you so they can get it. And who's in control now? Well, if you really love your child, you would never give in to his commands or into her demands. Why? Because you love that person and you don't want them to use that same kind of emotional manipulation in other relationships when they get older. True love doesn't spoil them. If people get the idea, well, little Johnny likes this, and so I like to give it to him all the time because I want him to know how much I love him. Well, he may not understand how much you love him, but he understands how much you spoil him. And we've talked about children who are spoiled rotten. You've seen them. You don't want to do that to your children. You would never want to do that to your child. You know that already. So if you really love that child, even though they're wanting to be spoiled, you don't spoil them. I'll tell you something else. True love doesn't cushion their falls. Now, obviously, if a child is learning to ride a bicycle and they've taken the training wheels off, you're going to go beside your child so that if she falls, you catch them on the bicycle, keep them from hitting the ground and really hurting themselves. We got that. But there are a lot of falls in life that your children endure. They get to school and they make a bad grade. You don't go and argue with the principal and berate the teacher until they raise the grade. That child has just learned a very important lesson. If they don't study hard, they make bad grades. And true love won't cushion that fall because they have to learn from the consequences of their mistakes. And they have to learn from the consequences of their sins. So true love doesn't cushion their falls. I've watched mothers whose children get older and then they start drinking and they start getting on drugs, and mom's there to cushion every fall. They keep doling out the money, they keep providing a bed for the child to stay on, keep feeding them, keep wanting them to come around the house. And you know what I'm telling you? What you have done is you've made a cozy bed for a very disobedient child who is going to absolutely terrorize your emotions as he or she continues in every opportunity to seek his own pleasures at your expense. True love doesn't cushion their falls. If somebody falls like that and hits the ground, sorry. That's what happens when you're stupid like that. I had a friend of mine whose son wound up in jail because of a DWI and called home. Now, I know we're talking about moms, but dad, you know what dad said? Call your friends. Don't call me. I didn't teach you. to drink and end up in jail on a DWI. Your friends did. And evidently, they know how to get out of this situation when they get into this situation. So why don't you call them? You know what he didn't do? He didn't cushion the fall. And I'm going to tell you something. That kid doesn't get any more DWIs. Why? He had to find the hard way how you get out of that situation. Had to face his crime. Listen, true love doesn't shield every hardship. But I will say this. True love does sacrifice. True love does give. It hurts. I'll grant you that. It really does. But it's very careful not to do bad things just to win the favor of your children. Now, good moms teach, good moms command, good moms love. I'll tell you something else. Good moms manifest. You say, manifest what? 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul is talking about calling to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what good moms do? They manifest the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, Timothy's mother and grandmother manifested a faith in Jesus Christ that set a great example for Timothy to follow. And when he grew up, Paul said, you know what? I recognize in you the same faith I saw in your grandmother and the same faith that I saw in your mother. His mother instructed him in the faith through the scriptures. That from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures. Do you ever sit down with your child, like on a nightly basis, with an open Bible and teach them about faith in Jesus Christ and then demonstrate in your own life and manifest in your own life the very faith that you're teaching from the words of God? Eunice did. She lived the things that she taught her son Timothy. Timothy could see in his mother the faith that he would need as he matured. You see, there are a lot of mothers who could sit down and tell you their children, well, you know about Goliath, and they think somehow or another I'm teaching them all about the faith. No. Or teach them just enough to get saved, and then, okay, we're not going to read the Bible anymore. Do you read your Bible every day, Mom? And do your children know that you read your Bible every day? I know you're not doing it for a vain show, but if you're reading it, and you're reading it in your favorite chair, and your child wakes up heading to the breakfast table, and he sees that you're, or she sees you sitting there reading your Bible, or kneeling beside your chair praying for him or her, you know, that leaves a lasting impression, a demonstrated faith, something that they can grow on and live on. They ever seen that in you? Do you do anything at home that manifests a faith that's strong enough for them to live on when they get bigger? That's what good moms do. They manifest. They teach, they command, they love. And I'll tell you something else. Good moms train. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he was old, he shall not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6, very famous verse of scripture. You know, mothers get the idea sometimes that sending your children to school and then helping them with their homework is training. That's not training. That's education. There's a big difference between training and education. You don't send them off to school, send them off to Sunday school, help them with their homework, and think that you've trained your child. You haven't done anything close to that. I'll say something else. Chastisement is not training. You say, well, every time that child gets out of line, you know, I follow the Bible example and apply the rod. That's good. But chastisement is not training. Chastisement is discipline. And there's a big difference. Training is the methodical process through which your children, in quotes I say, catch their life skills. You're not going to sit down and tell your child, now, when you get old, you need to pay your bills. Once you get out a checkbook, show them what it is to pay a bill, and show them that the bills in the house they're living in are paid all the time on time. You know what happens? They grow up and they say, I'm going to be a man or a woman of integrity and I'm going to pay my bills. Where'd they learn that? At home. Who trained them? Mom. You see, what happens is you invest your life into your children so that when they are older, the things you impart imparted to them are the things that they do. Good moms train. All right, so your children are riding in the car with you. You buckle your seatbelt. You stay within the speed limit. You obey the other ordinances. You say, why do you do that? Because you want them to know that the Bible says that they are to obey the ordinances of a man, and you demonstrate to them that you do it and why you do it. And when they see that, they're like, wow. All right, you want your children to grow up and to be on time for work and on time for other appointments, and you want them to write thank you notes and be charitable and gracious people. You know what you do? You train them. You train them in hospitality. You train them in thanksgiving. You train them both by your action and sitting down with them during their action. All right, so it becomes so much a part of them, they don't even have to think about it anymore. They just do what they have been taught to do, what they've been trained to do. So good moms, that's what we've been talking about today from Proverbs 31:1. Good moms teach. Good moms command, therefore authoritative. Good moms love. Good moms manifest faith in God. Good moms train. Your children do what they've been shown to do, what they've been taught to do at home. Now, let's conclude this way. If you're a child and you have a good mom, you ought to thank God every day for your good mother. If you are a good mom, I pray that you've been encouraged in these five things that we've seen in the scripture today. Keep up the good work. You're doing well. And if you need to be a good mom, well, according to the things you heard in the scripture today, now you know how. And as James said to us when he wrote his epistle, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, you've heard this. You say, boy, I wish I could be a mom like that. You can be. You say, how? Start doing what the Bible says, and you will be. I pray that you've been encouraged, mothers, in the things that you've heard from the scripture today. Hard job, but best job in the world. Do it well, and may God bless you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.